Hello and hi, welcome back to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Rachel Nichols, who plays the lead, Kira Cameron on Sci-Fi Channels, and I think it's Showcase in Canada? On Continuum. Continuum is wrapping up this season. You guys are actually filming the final 7 or 8 episodes now, right?
Yeah, we have 6 episodes in this final season, and we are filming the final 2 right now. We shoot 2 episodes simultaneously. It's called block shooting. So we've got 2 weeks left of shooting.
Oh, wow. So how is it starting to get emotional now that you know the story's coming to an end?
Yeah, I mean, we were all so bummed that it was ending because, I mean, so many wonderful things have happened to me since coming to Vancouver to shoot this TV show, and I've got this great family here now and great friends, and we were happy that it didn't just get canceled after season 3, that it got canceled, but we were given 6 episodes to sort of wrap up the stories, and I thank the fans largely in part for that, because I don't know if we would have this final season to sort of say goodbye had they not been so supportive and so demanding of more episodes.
Well, it's a fascinating, compelling, and, you know, for sci-fi television, a very, very smart, rich show. And I, as a fan of storytelling, appreciate that. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
You can also pass my thanks on to all the writers because they've done a just mind-blowing job in some cases.
I will. Well, you know, Simon Barry, who created the show, is one of the smartest individuals I've ever met. And a lot of times people said, well, did you ask him at the beginning if Kira was going to get home at the end? And did you ask him what he had planned? And I always say, I'm a smart person, but if I asked Simon to put everything that was in his brain, as far as planning the show is concerned, into my brain, I think my brain would explode. So I basically go on an episode-by-episode basis.
So, speaking of Kira's story arc, where do you think she's going to, I guess, appreciate what she's been through and actually get home?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's dream is for her to get home. I obviously, shooting the last block, I do know what happened, so I can only comment a certain amount about it, but you know, one of the things that was really important to me and to Kira and to Simon as well was that whatever happened, she wasn't just bailing on the present day to leave a big mess for Carlos and Alec. And she, you know, she wants to go home. She wanted to go home since the beginning, obviously missing her son very, very much. But her moral compass, her mental guidance would never let her leave the present day a huge mess. She has this job that she has to do. So the one thing I can say is she can't go home unless everything in the present day has been sort of mended and fixed. She's not going to abandon ship. So we're kind of dealing with that this season a lot.
How do you think she has changed since the beginning?
Oh, good question. She's changed a lot. I mean, I've always contended that the Kira Cameron of 2077 was less human than the Kira Cameron who's now lived in the present day for 4 years or 3 years. And I think, you know, in the beginning it was very black and white, good versus evil. Kira was, you know, she was a CPS officer and she was quote-unquote good. And everybody from Liberate that they were putting to death in that opening sequence was bad. And I think she's changed a lot over the course of the 4 seasons into what she sees as good versus bad. It's not so cut and dry anymore. It's not black and white or good versus evil. And I think a large part of her saw what Liberate was doing, they were trying to do as they were trying to set up Liberate in this time zone, essentially the present day, and she didn't agree with how they went about it, but she starts to understand why and their reasoning behind it. And if you look at some of the alliances that have been formed over the seasons, the three seasons, and certainly in this season, whether it's with Garza or with Kira, or at the end of last season with Roger Cross's character Travis, she's had times where she's gone rogue and she's sort of gone off the map, and I think her perception of good and bad and right and wrong has changed drastically for the better.
Now, do you think that change has been more because of the people she's had to work with in the present day, so they're very different from the people she worked with in 2077, or is it because of what she sees, the changes that she is experiencing in the present day, and what she sees Liberate trying to do?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both things. I think between her working with Alec and her working with Carlos and Inspector Dillon to a certain extent has changed her, and like it sort of made her almost more human. Carlos, in one of the episodes in the second season, kept telling Kira, it's like you look right through these people and you're not looking at people, because she had all this tech from the future that, you know, essentially was she didn't rely on dealing with a personality. She would just rely on her tech to sort of scan someone and know if they were lying. So I think between working with the people in the present day that are so very different from the structure that she was working in 2077, paired with kind of getting to know, so to speak, Liberate and certain members and what they're trying to do and have been trying to do, and the idea of how they're going to start earlier, you know, the butterfly flaps its wings on one side of the world and it creates a tsunami on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a combination of both of those elements that have changed her for the better and made her more human and maybe more understanding and more tolerant, and has kind of opened her eyes to what the quote unquote real world is, and that's what helped her change over the course of these four seasons.
And you think that has actually helped her commitment to making things right now in order to make
Absolutely.
The future better? Awesome.
Absolutely. I think that as time has gone by, she's become more committed to making sure that that the future is better, even if it's sacrificing her son, which she has said in the third season, and certainly in the fourth season. She realized in the second season, in the third season, that she couldn't just be an ostrich. She couldn't just put her head in the sand and hope someday someone tapped her on the shoulder and said, here's a time ball, you can go back to the future that you left. I mean, she had to face the idea that it was more important to provide a better future for everybody, even if it was going to cost her getting back to the time that she left, back to the family that she left.
Cool. Now, Kira's very active. How much of the stunt work is actually you?
A lot of it. It's one of my favorite things. I have a couple great stunt doubles who come in. I mean, when I'm thrown through a wall or through a glass window, or if I'm blown back by an explosion, that's usually not me, because it involves rigs and harnesses. And, you know, if I'm bloody and hurt, I'm no good to them. Luckily, knock on wood, we've never had any big accidents on set. But I do as much of it as I can. I've been very active in fight sequences and other projects that I've worked on, whether it's G.I. Joe or Alias or Conan the Barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to do as much of it as I can, because it's kind of a selfish thing, because I want to look at a fight sequence and know that that's me, and, you know, have flashes here and there where that's definitely not me, but have it look seamless. And it just looks so cool when it's all edited together. I just, you know, I like looking like a badass, so I do as much as I can.
Have you asked them at one point, just like, just one time, put me in the rig, please?
Oh yeah. I always ask. I always, you know, sort of dip my toe in the water and say, you know, I might be able to do that. I mean, we could try. And they look at me and think, let's not throw you through the glass window. And there was this one stunt in the first season where it was the Curtis Chen character, and he was throwing me against a wall, and then I had to smash down and break a table. And obviously I wasn't doing that. Monique Ganderton was my stunt double at the time. She also doubled me on Conan the Barbarian, and he had to throw her against the table maybe three or four times because the table wouldn't break.
Oh wow.
And I thought, okay. maybe these are the kind of things that I let Monique do, because going into the table once is one thing, but going into the wall and the table three or four times to get a table to break, that's not fun.
What other aspects, physical or acting-wise, have you found to be the most fun, the most challenging?
The physical stuff is always really fun, and especially depending on who you're working with and who you're fighting. I mean, I had such a good time with Luvia Peterson last year when and it became this thing on Twitter where they named us Kira and Garza. And we sort of unite in the prison, and we work on the fight sequences, and it's like choreographing a dance. So anybody that you're fighting in the fight sequences is your dance partner, and you know you get all serious, and you're doing this fight, and sometimes you know it just somebody's punch misses, and then somebody's kick doesn't land, and then you start laughing, and you kind of have to start all over again. Go no, back it up. Or, you know, it's those kind of things, but it really is like learning a dance. You learn a couple moves at a time, and then a couple more moves, and then a couple more moves, and you build and build and build. So the physical stuff is incredibly, incredibly fun for me. But also just, and especially as the years have progressed and the cast are now, you know, very, very, very good friends. Many of them came to my wedding. My husband and I are going to Luvia's wedding in June, and it's more fun. We have a serious scene, and then it's the downtime in between where we're all sort of cracking each other up and laughing, and then getting serious again for a serious scene. But we've got this shorthand, which is hard to come by, and I that's something that I'll miss the most, and something that I value the most as well. So we have a good time at work. There's not one part of it that I don't like.
Yeah, I sometimes wish these shows would put like 15-minute long outtake and blooper reels on the DVDs, because I get so much enjoyment watching. Just you're watching the acting process, you're watching the stunt process, and then just people just bust up laughing for no reason.
They should actually put them on, because at every wrap party we have a blooper reel. And every wrap party every year we have a blooper reel. I have copies of the blooper reel somewhere, and they're hysterical. Because you're being all serious, and here I am, you know, kicking someone's butt, and then, you know, I miss a punch, and I slip and fall and crack up because I've missed, you know, everything, or you know, some days as an actor you have those lines that just won't stay in your head. So, you know, you're trying to remember this one line, it just doesn't stick, just doesn't stick, and you screw it up, and you screw it up, and you screw it up. And finally, you're just like hands in the air, and you just have to have it rewritten, or you know, something like that. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's trying not to laugh at you, and you're trying. You're laughing at yourself and trying to keep it together. And then there are those little mishaps. I mean, Inspector Dillon, played by Brian Markinson, you know, he didn't realize that he was on camera after one of the things after the first season. So he was pretending to hump a pile of boxes in the background, and the camera guy caught it. And Victor. And he was mad, he plays Carlos, he was mad in the scene, so he threw this box down, and the box bounced back and smashed him in the face.
Oh, no.
All these hilarious things that happened that I do wish everybody could see, because I would think it would make watching the show even more enjoyable.
All right, we have to start a petition saying, hey, give us the long blooper reels, please. Put them on YouTube, put them on DVD. We'll be happy.
I, you know what, I'll ask about that. I think that's something I should ask for, because people would just crack up because we do some of this. Silliest accidents.
Oh, that's hilarious. Now, you said you were married. Has your husband actually come on set and watched you work?
He has. When I came to Vancouver to shoot the show the first season, I'd never been to Vancouver, so we shot the first season, and then I went back to LA. And then in the second season, I met my now husband. And so I'm a permanent resident in Canada now, which I love. I love Vancouver, and his family's close by, which is great. And he's kind of, you know, it's completely surreal for someone who's not in the business, who's in real estate development, someone who's not in the business to come and see how it works. And oftentimes, I mean, people say, wow, you guys waste a lot of time. How many takes are you going to do, and how many camera setups, and how many angles, and how, wow, it takes you a really long time to shoot one scene. So it's always interesting to get a person who's not in the industry to get their perspective on what you actually do at work all day long. he comes for lunch a lot. He'll come in right before lunch and sort of watch a little bit, and then you know, leave shortly after lunch. But he does come, especially when we're downtown at easy locations, just to come hang out and say hi during the day when he can.
Now, are you working on any other projects? Do you have any other films or TV shows coming up after Continuum is done?
I shot a movie with Mekhi Phifer and Nikki Pyle and Alfie Allen in December, and it's called Pandemic, and I'm waiting to find, they just started doing screenings of it, so I'm waiting to find out when that's going to come out, festival circuit, stuff like that. And then, you know, when the show's done, Michael and I will be splitting our time between LA and Vancouver. Vancouver will always be home, but I'm getting jobs for me, so it happens in LA. So I'll go back down and probably take a little time off and go somewhere for a couple weeks just for vacation. But and then come back and I don't want to rush into anything. I think it's really important because it's going to be sad when it's over, and everybody is admitting that, and everybody realizes it's going to be sad. So I don't want to rush into something just because I feel the need to work because the Continuum's done. And I think I'm going to have to give myself some time to be sad about it, to sort of properly grieve the ending of this show that has become such a part of my life, that has given me so many, namely my husband, so many wonderful things. So I think I'll probably just take it easy, and I'll give Continuum a proper goodbye, and I'll let myself wallow in it a little bit, and then back to pounding the pavement and finding out what's next. A lot of stuff is shooting in Vancouver now, so I would ideally like to work in Vancouver, but if something's shooting somewhere else, we'll go have a new adventure in a new city in a new country. Who knows?
Well, I know everybody has been eagerly waiting the concluding episodes. I believe Sci-Fi Channel is going to air the final handful of episodes starting in July or August, I think. And we're sad that it's ending, but as you said earlier, at least you got the chance to give it a wrap up, a good closure.
Yeah.
So again, for all of our fans, thank you very much for the job you've done.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for being fans, because without the fans, you don't have a TV show anymore.
We have to fight. We have to fight so hard to keep our good sci-fi on.
I know, and it was so gratifying and so lovely what the fans did for us, and how beautifully aggressive they were with Shaw about demanding more episodes and wanting closure and not wanting it to end. And anybody that Simon and anybody at the network or studio would admit that it's because of the fans that we have these final six episodes. It really is. So I just want to say thank you to every fan of Continuum, to everybody who's tuned in and told their mother to watch and their sister to watch and their brother and their boyfriend, because that's how a show survives for four seasons, because that's very rare nowadays, So it's without the fantastic fans, I certainly wouldn't be going to work on the fourth season. And so we are all very grateful to them for that.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hello, audience. Listen to your podcast player. Now back to me. Now back to your podcast player. Now back to me. Sadly, it isn't me. But if it stopped playing pop music and switched to the Dragon Reel podcast, it could sound like me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're in a movie theater with the podcast your podcast player could sound like. What's on the screen? I downloaded it. It's a swashbuckler with a magic rapier. Look again. The swashbuckler is now an evil sorceress. Anything is possible when you listen to the Dragon Reel podcast and not music. I'm on a unicorn.
Listen to Dragon Reel, the fantasy film podcast at dragonreel.com, or subscribe on iTunes or wherever great podcasts are found.
Hey, folks, this is Bruce Campbell, and this is my podcast. Thank you very much.
Slice of Sci-Fi. Yeah, isn't time a very funny thing? I think so. As you might have heard in that interview with Rachel Nichols, this was recorded way back when everyone thought that the final six episodes of Continuum were going to air in July. And then schedules changed. I'm not going to complain too much because I think we got Killjoys and Dark Matter out of it, but yeah, Continuum, the concluding season of Continuum was pushed back to September this week. So just kind of gloss over any and all references to May, June, July, and August. Yes, they did ask us to hold the interview until the series was back on the air. This one part of television promotion, I understand, but I don't get it. Does that make sense? They want to promote the TV show while it's on the air, and yet they underestimate the obsessive power of geeks, and not just sci-fi geeks. You have your crime and procedural geeks. You have your drama geeks. You have your soap opera geeks. All of us who have a particular niche of television that we're fond of, we obsess over them daily, yearly, longer. Witness those of us who are fans of Firefly, or of the original series of Battlestar Galactica, or darn it, Star Wars and Star Trek. Without those people paying attention to, digging up more information about, reading articles about, reading supplementary materials about those TV shows, and only paid attention to them when they're on the air, you would never have any sustained reason for reruns. If reruns weren't making studios money, they wouldn't have them. If putting television shows on Hulu and Netflix weren't making studios money, Hulu and Netflix wouldn't exist. But because people wanted to watch old TV shows when they wanted, to watch new TV shows on their own schedule, we have this wonderful thing called technology that gives us that ability. So when somebody says, hang on to that interview for an extra couple of months until the show's back on the air, I understand, but I'm also, really? I understand, but I question. Does that make me confusing? Probably. But hey, it's me. It's who you're stuck with. Anyway, it was a great interview with Rachel. We have also coming up in a couple of weeks the interview I did with Simon Barry. I actually did get to talk to him about the story of Continuum. And we have a few more discussion shows coming up. We have indie movies in general. And yes, we're going to have a Doctor Who extravaganza. Should be interesting. Very interesting, because we had a lot of Doctor Who novels come out this year. We have a few more coming out before the end of the year. Of course, we have the new series starting up this month. And just a lot of Doctor Who to talk about. So sit back, call in, and have some questions about Doctor Who that I can throw out to our Whovian contingent to see if they can answer your questions. To see if, you know, I wonder if it'd be kind of cool to come up with something that might stump them. A Who trivia. Maybe. I'll think about that. But that will do it for this episode. As always, if you have questions or comments, feel free to call. That number is 602-635-6976. Leave a message. Ask a question. I'll get to them. I'll answer them. For those of you who check out the show on your phones by listening to the website, would a call now button help? Let me know. Send me an email. That email address is summer@sliceofscifi.com. It's also where you can email any voice comments that you record yourself. Check us out on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Google+. And of course, that website is SliceOfSciFi.com. Thank you for your donations. They do keep things going over here. Gonna need them more so than ever. Coming up fairly soon. Had to adjust some hosting arrangements, but we'll survive. I'm still looking into setting up a Patreon page to make it easier for people over there to donate and see what they can achieve with different levels of donations. I am trying to do the membership thing with older episodes of Slice, older episodes of Dragon Page. And yes, plans are still in the works to jumpstart Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas and another creative show is also in the pipeline. Don't have as firm a timeline on that, but we have more entertainment coming your way. Again, thank you all for your donations. Thank you, Cy Fried, for the incredible, awesome theme music we have now. And to all of our listeners, thank you for tuning in and listening to what we have to geek about and all of our complaints and observations. And if there's a TV show or a movie or an independent feature, an online feature you want to hear us talk about, let us know. Send an email, call in a voicemail. If there's something in the comic books or gaming you want to check out, comic books, I can head you over to It's Comic Book Day. Gaming, we're working on that. We're working on getting a little bit more gaming coverage, but it's a process. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will be back next week with more Slice of Sci-Fi. Take care.